everyone. Welcome to WD Carousel Podcast. My name's Ian.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Laurel.
And we get to do some music stuff again, which we haven't done in a while. And
yeah.
I am happy about that. So today, we're kind of doing this in two parts because we had this idea, or technically Laurel had this idea. And we kind of decided, you're welcome.
That comes later,
you're
honey.
Welcome.
Shush, that's
spoiler.
That's the finale.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Either way, we decided that there's kind of two parts to this kind of episode series. And the first part is going to be our favorite soundtracks, Disney animated soundtracks. Is
yes.
that what we want?
Yeah, you did have to put some parameters
on that. Because otherwise it got to be...
It would get blown up
yes.
real quick.
Yeah, and also a musical, or musical enough. Yes.
Disney specific, so no Pixar involved.
Right.
Animated and... musical soundtracks.
Yes.
Which was really difficult for me, which was shocking.
Yeah.
To be fair, most of them are musicals, so it's a lot to pick from.
But when we get to our second episode, which is going to be underrated favorite soundtracks, that one, my favorite underrated movies are non-musicals.
That's
yeah,
fair.
There's a lot like in that certain era, like the Treasure Planet, Atlantis era, that were not musicals.
Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Some very,
Anyways,
underrated movies, which is going to be a whole separate series.
This one has to do with just our favorite soundtracks.
Yes.
So we decided we were going to just each talk about our favorite soundtrack.
Yep.
And have a little discussion.
Yeah.
And then, spoiler alert, next week is going to be... are underrated favorite soundtracks.
So I guess I'll kick us off. And this one, I hemmed and hawed over a little bit, as we all did, I'm sure.
I didn't.
I know you didn't.
I took the easy way out.
There were some more obvious choices than others, and I decided to try something that was not an unobvious choice, but just something I dug a little deeper than my first thought, essentially.
You gotta dig a little deeper. Wait.
Spoilers.
Take it.
Okay. All right. So I decided that my favorite soundtrack from a Disney movie is The Lion King. Which...
I mean,
the reason that I kind of went that direction was it's such a... The music immediately is evocative of Disney to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
means, iconic.
Yeah, it means Disney to me. And so that was sort of the modern era, essentially.
It feels like Disney at its most powerful.
Yes. Yeah.
So during the Renaissance time, when they were on their big comeback, this was like the peak of the Renaissance.
Yes.
Of Disney.
Yes. Yeah,
can I just tell you that whenever I think of Lion King, I think of going to buy the movie at a store, and they legit had checkout lines that were only for the Lion King that day.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That's how popular this film was.
Oh my, it was a cultural icon that is kind of hard to... wrap our heads around, which is pretty cool.
And we're not talking about the quote unquote live action remake.
Right. I do not understand. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Moving on.
That's another episode.
Different episode.
But, I think we talked about that already.
Probably a little bit. But yeah, so kind of a little bit of just kind of a couple of fun facts, key pointers about the soundtrack, just because I'm a nerd and we're all nerds.
What?
And you
nerds
know,
here?
We want to talk about it. Some things I didn't know. I, for some reason, thought Alan Menken was involved in this soundtrack, and he is not. Tim Rice and Alan Menken had been working on Aladdin together,
mm-hmm.
but when they went to, like, get this all put together for this one, they were like, Tim Rice and Alan Menken, want to do this one? Alan Menken's like, actually, I'm busy making Gallivant or something. I'm kidding. He was not making Gallivant at the time. He wasn't at the time.
I want Gallivant that. Didn't exist yet.
It did not exist yet. But it,
it's a great
but
show,
it's important to know it exists. And... so they were like, oh, shoot, well, I guess we'll have to find somebody else. And Tim Rice was, like, kind of giving out just ideas for, like, famous people that mm-hmm. they could find. Apparently, like, ABBA was on the list for a while.
That's
which
amazing.
Is kind of wild, but apparently the big issue was...
it's a choice for a film set in Africa.
Right. Yeah. It's the first thing you think of.
Yeah.
But the lead songwriter, Benny Anderson, was actually working on another musical at the time. So they ended up being like, he's like the only one that really did the composing aspect of it. So mm-hmm. he kind of was like, I can't. And Tim Rice was already doing the lyrics. So it that kind of fell through. And then eventually they approached Elton John, who was like...
Another
obvious choice, like you do. And it's funny, too, because, you know, and I guess I already knew this because Elton John doesn't write his lyrics, which I always forget that he doesn't write his mm-hmm. lyrics, but, like, he's the music guy, which is always interesting to me. So they paired him with Tim Rice. So you get, like, Aladdin lyrics, kind of that writer, but you get, like, Elton John, you know, instrumentation and arrangement, which is so interesting. So he was interested in doing that, and then they came up with five songs between the two of them did together. Circle of Life, I Just Can't Wait to Be King, Be Prepared, Hakuna Matata, and Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And then Lebo M came in and did a bunch of kind of real instrumentation and arrangement for kind of more African sounding stuff mm-hmm. because they had two very white men working on the...
Disney Liverpool, not the same as Africa. Turns out. Weirdly enough.
Disney using white people for cultural representation of other cultures? What?
That never happened.
Have a history of that. Anyway. And important to me, because that's me as a person, is also the actual orchestral score for it is also very powerful. Lots of great stuff when you're looking at mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. moments in the show and how mm-hmm. the scores how it underscores the whole thing. That was actually technically composed by Hans Zimmer, because of course it was. You can just tell when it's Hans Zimmer. And so he and his kind of his partners from his company, which had a different name at the time, and I didn't write that part down because I just thought we were going too far at that point. Mark Mancina and Jay Rifkin also worked on the score with him, and that was his contribution. But Mark Mancina is interesting because he shows up later.
So which one of those five songs is your favorite, though? I want to know. You didn't expect that question.
You know, I probably should have been prepared for that. Were you prepared? It's actually not Be Prepared. It's a great song, but it's not my favorite. You know what? There is something really, really... that sticks in my head a lot about I Just Can't Wait to Be King. Like, just like from the music side, like, it's just... there's something about it that just really... is so joyful that's hard
to
explain.
It also came out at a time, like, when we were younger, and those...
Wait. Were you born yet?
What year was it again?
I don't know, like, 94, 95?
Was it 94?
Something like that.
Okay, well, I was a year old, so...
Cool! So you and I, Laurel...
So when we were young...
Sorry, I'll just back out this conversation now.
Those images, like the color and the action mm-hmm. of that song... within the movie are so exciting for younger children.
Yeah.
Like, I think Circle of Life is the most iconic.
94. Yeah.
And Can You Feel the Love Tonight is the one I always fast forward through.
Especially when you were kids, like, this is so, like, not interesting.
Why are we watching lions kissing?
Why are we watching brother and sister kissing?
Like, this is I'm good.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, that's just my Snapchat, like, as a song that, like, I remember as a young mm-hmm. person, like,
oh,
that
absolutely.
One sticks, but, like, the entire score is kind of slaps.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense because it's going to be a bouncy song mm-hmm. that children really connect with, just like Hakuna Matata. That's why it became so popular.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the whole movie when I was a kid was when Timon dressed up into the hula.
Yeah, of course.
The only thing I cared about.
Nathan Lane. God.
Perfect.
The whole group.
Delightful.
So that's yours.
That is mine. And that's all I have.
Good job, Go Team. Did you love how I have a laptop literally on my lap, but to look up the date that Lion King came out,
phone?
I pulled out my cell phone. Because I am old.
We're not used to carrying laptops when we record. We hadn't previously, just because mm-hmm. we used to have video more.
And now I have a laptop that actually works.
Right. And so just wasn't thinking about it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. On to number two. Laurel, that is you.
That is me today.
Yes.
Well, when we first were talking about this, there was one soundtrack that came to mind immediately, because it's probably the one that, like, I listen to the most. Mm-hmm. I tried to, like, go through and, like, am I sure this is the one I want to talk about? And mm-hmm. I could not, like, land on another one. So that must mean something. I'm a huge fan of jazz. I listen to jazz a lot. And so Princess and the Frog spoke to me immediately from the beginning song, mm-hmm. like when she's talking to the Evening Star, and then we go into New Orleans. I love the movie, mm-hmm. but the soundtrack gets played more than the movie in my house. Like, it's sure. just yeah. so good.
Sure.
So it came out in 2009, and there were 10 original songs. So there was a lot right. going on yeah. in this film, and 7 score pieces on top of it.
Right.
It was written by Randy Newman, who I did not realize that until
really?
I wasn't thinking about it. It doesn't, like, Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. don't.
Immediately
scream jazz, New right. Orleans jazz. You know, I don't see the Preservation yeah. Hall jazz band working with Randy
right.
Newman.
Right.
It just doesn't seem to, like, connect. Classic. But he did. Yeah. So, there's so many good songs. Down in New Orleans features Dr. John, whose voice just, like, I've loved him since mm-hmm. he was a child, and I didn't know who he was. But, mm-hmm. like, when I heard him, the first time I was in the theater seeing this movie, and I heard Dr. John come on, I was like, yeah. oh. Yes, because yeah. he was an icon of New Orleans music.
Oh, yeah.
Anika Noni Rose's voice is perfection. The only thing I knew her from before this was Dreamgirls, where she was kind of like an ancillary member of the okay. of the girls.
Right.
But she did amazing. And then you have Keith David, who plays Dr. Facilier, and who is my favorite villain in any Disney movie. And I've Got Friends on the Other Side. That sequence is so
fantastic.
Gorgeous. The jewel tones and like the and the voodoo, it's so cool. When We're Human is amazing. We have the whole cast singing. Everything is just perfect jazz New Orleans flavor mm-hmm. throughout it. The only thing I will say about this soundtrack is I wish they had brought a person of color on to write more of the music.
Yeah.
Again, Disney at its yeah. best.
At its best.
Randy Newman, while he is fantastic, and he did a fantastic job, obviously, mm-hmm. because I love this soundtrack so
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
That could have been more representative of people of color in New Orleans right. who've been making music there for generations.
I mean, jazz, yeah. yeah, jazz started out as black culture.
Right. Exactly. There's right. no question yeah. where that comes
like,
from.
Yeah.
So, like, I wish they had done a little bit more than that. And this was like kind of right before Crystal's Favorite coming up, where they did bring in a lot of cultural like representatives to really inform the music.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know Randy Newman's backstory. I don't know if he spent a lot of time in New Orleans. I don't know what his background with jazz is, but I don't right. believe it's like really yeah. deeply ingrained.
He's it's one of those things where he's like definitely a phenomenal artist.
Oh,
like
yeah.
incredible stuff he does, but definitely like, huh.
But when you
okay.
hear his name, it's not automatically linked to the jazz world,
right.
like
no.
Squirrel on Zippers. Mm-hmm. I mean, not associated with Disney at yeah. all. Just throwing that out there.
But yes, I do love the Squirrel on Zippers. But yeah, I did love that like the voice cast was all very diverse. That
yeah.
was nice.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in a lot of really talented people who weren't like big names. They didn't go
yeah.
off and like, we gotta get
that.
Will Smith and right. we gotta get
Beyonce.
You know, yeah, Whitney Houston. Like, we gotta
right.
do this
right.
stuff in order to get people in the seats. They're like,
that,
no, we're
well,
gonna take
that also
talent.
Get nominated?
Yes, it got nominated for 2 Academy Awards, one for Almost There and one for Down in New Orleans.
Okay.
It did not win either one, unfortunately.
Oh.
But it got nominated twice out of
yeah,
five.
That's pretty cool.
Picks,
and
so.
Considering that was a movie that kind of flopped in the box office because they didn't do a lot of advertising for it. I mean, it's mm. still great that they got nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got some recognition.
Does anyone want to know my horrifying confession?
I'd love to, please.
I've never seen this movie.
Okay, we are having
a movie night.
Okay.
Laurel's house is going to happen.
Sweet.
Or at Crystal's house because she's going to be chopped open.
That's true.
We can do that too.
That's true.
I'll bring the Malort. You kidding? I'm not bringing the Malort.
No, but you'll bring a sound bar.
I'll bring something. Yeah, you know, you say that and it's not necessarily not going to happen.
I said it because it's true. But speaking of actual cultural representation,
yes.
my movie,
yes.
Moana.
Yes.
I will say this is the first movie that I actually physically went out and purchased just a copy of the soundtrack
okay.
for a Disney animated movie.
Nice.
I have other copies of other, you know, mm-hmm. songs from the Disney archives, but this is the one where literally went to go see it, went directly to Target right after and bought the soundtrack.
Nice.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're not familiar with Moana,
First of all, what are you doing here?
Have you just been listening to this podcast
Ian,
now?
Have you seen Moana?
Oh my God, yes. I'll have to bleep that, but it's fine. That was on me. It's my fault and I have to bleep it. It's fine.
Mark a note.
I've gotten so much better. I was just like, point that out.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. Obviously this is...
I'll do like two for you, it's fine.
A creation of Lin-Manuel Miranda mixed with Mark Mancina, and I am going to botch that name. I deeply apologize.
Which one? Oh, yeah.
Opetaia Foye?
Yeah, and I had heard...
Foye?
Yeah.
But anyways, so this is Lin-Manuel Miranda's first Disney movie that he created music for. Yeah. At the same time, he was also working on Hamilton. So this lets you know how far back this, you know, soundtrack was during that creation process. So the only thing he really had under his belt was
In the Heights.
Yep. Yeah. And
that's all that Disney had of him when they were like, we want you to do this.
Yeah, which is impressive. So they put that much like faith into him. In the Heights is great.
Great. Yeah.
But it's like, it wasn't even a movie yet. It was just
it was just a show.
Stage show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they went, yes, we want you. We want your style. And they brought in actual people from the Pacific Islands as cultural representation.
There's lyrics that are in that native language.
So they have lyrics in English. Samoan. I am going to botch this again. Tokelan. Tokelauna. No A at the end. Launan. And Tuvaluan. Luan.
Well,
native languages.
Yes. we want to say it correctly.
This is one of those things where I feel like it's the Hermione situation where you read
you read it, but
you don't know how to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The scores feature Polynesian voices and percussion, woodwinds made from bamboo from the South Pacific, and traditional hide-covered taika drums.
Nice.
The songs feature Fwais, New Zealand-based vocal group Te Waka, as well as a choir from Fiji. So they're really bringing in voices from that culture in that area.
And all of Polynesia. They didn't just stick to like Hawaii, which had been really easy to do.
Yeah.
So this is, I want to say, the first Disney movie where they actually had accurate cultural representation as far as music goes.
It took it to the next level in all aspects of production, but especially in music.
The only other one I could think of before would be Frozen. Frozen definitely had some of like the native like chanting, like that first song.
Yeah,
that's true.
But it was not on the scale that Moana was at all.
And I hate to be that white person, but it's a white culture.
It's a white culture, absolutely.
Versus this one, which is obviously not
a white culture.
You know, European, England, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Pocahontas had some of that. They had some native languages within that movie, but the story alone is problematic.
Kind of invalidates it on that merit alone. Yeah.
So obviously there are some really good songs in there that we're familiar with. Where You Are, How Far I'll Go, You're Welcome, and of course Shiny. And actually what I found out, fun fact, is that according to Miranda, Shiny was inspired by Flight of the Conchords tribute to David Bowie.
Concords. It's okay.
I am just having an issue today, okay?
It's all good.
Flight of the Conchords.
Yep.
Tribute to David Bowie.
Yes.
Which is their best song.
As well as listening to David Bowie's song on loop shortly after the singer's death in January 2016. Aww. So I see the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, David Bowie was amazing, and that song is a bop.
Yes.
And we love it.
Did you like my song?
Did you like the song? Obviously, that one's going to be my favorite choice. I forgot to ask you your favorite song.
Oh, that's hard. Probably Down in New Orleans by Dr. John, but Friends on the Other Side is a very close follow-up.
Me being a villains girl, it's almost always going to need you to be that favorite song.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
And then also, this movie had nominations as well for the Golden Globes. How Far I'll Go was for Best Original Song.
Okay.
And at the Academy Awards, same thing. Neither won.
Bum, but bum, bum, bum.
They got nominated. So, cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, only 5 songs get nominated a year, so there are a lot more than 5 that come out, so it's still impressive.
Yeah, very impressive.
And so, yeah, that is our soundtracks, favorites. I mean, I'm just happy that you guys didn't bring up Moana by the time I got added to the list.
It was like the only one other one I was considering.
I know.
But I was like,
Do we have honorable mentions? My honorable mention, I'm going to say, is Encanto.
I was going to say
Encanto. Again, another Lin-Manuel Miranda, but that's because I can't get the stupid songs out of my head.
And I have one thing about Encanto specifically that I really liked compared to, like, his use in Moana. Mm-hmm. In Encanto, there was a really fun sense of getting back to... The songs felt very theatrical.
They were much pushed the narrative forward.
They really felt like they were like the Disney song, like How Far I'll Go is very classic Disney. Mm-hmm. I am singing about going forward on blah.
Yeah, you know? It's the adventure song.
Yes, exactly. Whereas with Encanto, it felt like a stage show. Mm-hmm. Like all the songs felt very much like, and the fact that everyone is just like loving it, I'm like, good, yes, people go to the theater. You know, it's like the vibe I get out of it, which is very exciting to me. So it's Lin-Manuel Miranda's vision.
He's amazing at everything he does. He sucks. I mean, having that much talent in one person is not fair.
And he's like not a dick. I'm like,
he's so nice. New generation Alan Menken or the brothers.
Yeah. I mean,
he's just gonna be the go-to. And he's young. It's great.
Yeah.
But that's my runner-up. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have anything you want to add in?
Well, I think Frozen 2.
You know?
I really love that soundtrack.
That's a good soundtrack.
I'm sorry. I do.
What's wrong?
The 80s song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's a love story.
Lost in the Woods, I think, was the most subversive thing the Frozen franchise has done.
It's just like... You're just having so much fun, and you're so fucking talented.
I know, it's so good. Leave me there.
But, like, you're just so talented, and you can make it work within this narrative. And, like, the song, like, there's a song in there that makes me friggin' cry every time I watch it. Where Anna's alone, and Olaf's
when I'm older.
She thinks Elsa's dead. That's also an amazing song because it's subversive because it's also like this is not true. This is never gonna happen for you.
Yeah.
So
Frozen
2
actually kind of slaps. Fun fact.
It's a bop.
It's a bop. Yeah.
Look at us using hip slang.
The kids are saying these days.
It's so tight.
Oh my God, are we wrapping back around to 80s slang now? Yes, please. Cowabunga,
dude.
You're
coming welcome. Back.
And
Bart Simpson will be relevant again, like, while this still. Anyway, that's technically Disney, right?
Now through Fox.
Oh God, that's wild. The thing is, I was going to say Encanto, so that's kind of where I'm at, but. No, I don't have anything.
I also thought about Fantasia because I love it so much, but it's all covers.
True.
So I was like, it kind of invalidates itself because it's not original.
Okay.
But I do love I have it on vinyl. I listen to it.
Nice.
Mine also would have been Aladdin.
Aladdin's great.
Mm.
Anything you have with Robin Williams, just having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that. Yeah. Cool.
That is our episode. I should talk in the microphone when I start doing the outro.
I would love to hear what everybody else's favorites are, though.
Yes.
Like, if you guys have favorites that we didn't mention, or you disagree or agree for whatever reason, like, leave us a comment. Let us know what you're thinking.
And yeah,
totally. It's always fun to, like, compare everybody's favorites and why they're your favorites.
Yeah, because I got in a battle at, not a battle. We had an interesting discussion at work once. Our coworker and I were talking about the merits of Encanto versus... How are we doing on time? We're okay. Sorry, I want to make sure I didn't like go into like a random side note. Where we were talking about Encanto versus, which I really enjoyed, and my coworker did not enjoy.
Really?
She didn't like it. Versus, and she loves Beauty and the Beast. And I'm like, sure, Beauty and the Beast is a good movie, but is it really, like, do you think it's that much better than Encanto besides like a nostalgia factor? And like we kept going back and forth. And
I want part of this debate.
Right? and we'll have to talk about this off air too,
because
it was very interesting to see her perspective on what she got out of it.
Sure.
What she got out of Beauty and the Beast.
I have a friend who that's her favorite Disney movie of all time, and I enjoy it absolutely.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
But like Encanto is just, it's more real. It's more based in reality. Mm-hmm. It's more
you mean talking furniture is not based in reality.
I mean, having magical powers isn't the most realistic, but in Encanto either. But it's
called a miracle. It's not magic.
No, I'm sorry. My bad. I'm going to sit in my corner now. But, you know, it's based in, like, familial relationships, and it's had something to really say. Whereas Beauty and the Beast is great, but it's more of an adventure story. It's completely different narratives, and it's completely different messages.
You should let that random stranger come sleep in your house. Yes.
Yes.
It's a great plan.
That is a wonderful story to
learn. Kidnap
her
father. She'll love you for it.
Yeah. Hey, we should wrap this up.
Yeah,
on that note, this has been WD Carousel the Podcast. My name's Crystal.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Laurel.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream away.